After anthrax, counterterrorism experts are trying to predict the places that terrorists might try to strike again. Some government officials say that one of the most vulnerable targets in America is farm animals. They say if terrorists triggered a disease outbreak in a pen full of cattle, it could cause more economic damage than the attacks on September 11th. Daniel Swerdling reports for NPR News and American Radio Works.
They knew they were facing a crisis the moment the phone rang, although this was a mock crisis. It was a kind of war game. It was early on a Saturday morning. Somebody was calling the emergency hotline in Florida's state government. Joe Kite took the call.
We had a small rancher, part-time rancher. He noticed that some of the animals were acting ill.
Kite's the deputy director of the division that regulates the livestock industry in Florida. He says he and other state officials wanted to make this training exercise as realistic as possible. So, yes, a veterinarian actually drove to that ranch. And then he called the 800 number that citizens are supposed to use to report disasters from tornadoes to terrorism. Kite says the vet listed some of the most frightening symptoms that an agriculture official could ever hear.
These animals are sick. They're in pain. I mean, you put ulcers in your mouth, and I mean, you're just not going to eat. It hurts to eat, it hurts to drink, it hurts to swallow, it hurts to stand. Those are your symptoms of foot and mouth disease.
The virus that causes foot and mouth disease doesn't hurt people, at least as far as scientists know. And it usually doesn't even kill animals, but they lose weight and stop producing milk. And the virus is so contagious that it rips through livestock like a fire. Remember what happened in Britain early this year?
Army patrols continue their daily fight against foot and mouth disease, but today the Conservatives will call...
The British government banned travel last spring in rural areas. They wouldn't let children from farms go to school because the virus might be on their clothes. They slaughtered millions of animals to try to stop the outbreak, and the rest of the world banned their meat. Joe Kite says if that foot and mouth call he got in Florida hadn't been make-believe, he almost thinks...
I would have quit. No, it's if this had been a real event, it would just be unbelievable.
Florida's just one of many states where officials have been practicing how they'd fight a livestock epidemic. Florida held its war game last summer, and it involved everybody from state troopers who'd set up roadblocks to bulldozer drivers who'd bury dead animals. Actually, nobody's seen a case of foot and mouth disease in this country since 1929. A government campaign wiped it out, just like it wiped out malaria in humans in this country. Since then, the worst animal diseases have mainly attacked poor countries in places like Africa and Asia. But researchers like Corey Brown say they're spreading.
Certainly with the globalization of the food supply and the tremendous international traffic of people and animals, the way that these diseases could come in are multiple. It could get tracked in on the bottom of someone's shoe or in a cell culture that wasn't properly taken through all of the right channels before it was imported. So unfortunately, I think it would be all too easy to bring a disease in that would then spread throughout our herds.
Actually, Brown doesn't want to say in detail just how foreign animal diseases could spread because she worries that terrorists might try to do it. Brown studies diseases and terrorism at the University of Georgia. We caught up with her in a barn where she studies how to prevent outbreaks. She says until September 11th, some people argued that terrorists wouldn't bother attacking farms because they want explosions and drama. But she says terrorists also want to wound the economy. And what could do that better than going after America's meat? And Brown says, don't forget, according to intelligence sources, military scientists in Iraq and in the former Soviet Union grew microbes to attack enemy farms.
You know, 2% of the population is directly involved with farming. However, 17% of all jobs are related to farming. The transporters, distributors, food processors, restaurants. Anytime we get a disease in our country that would impact our trading status, no one wants our exports. The problem would not be confined to the Midwestern United States, but these economic consequences would be felt all over the country.
And agriculture researchers say the same trends that make the livestock industry so efficient also make it more vulnerable to attack. Farming used to be a local business, but now it's a national assembly line. Officials in Georgia learned that lesson recently when they held their own foot-and-mouth war game. Paul Williams works for the state's Emergency Management Agency. He says 50 years ago, farmers raised their own cattle and hogs, and they sold the extras in their own community. So, if a herd got sick, it couldn't spread the virus very far. But these days, some farmers specialize in raising cattle until they weigh 400 pounds. Then they ship them to other farmers who make them fatter. Williams says they tracked actual livestock sales during their training exercise, and it showed that infected cattle from a single farm in Florida could trigger a regional epidemic overnight.
The translocation of livestock in the United States is enormous. The animals moving out of Florida had gone to a livestock market in Georgia. The sales out of that livestock market during the week of the exercise indicated that 70 Georgia farms had purchased animals out of that livestock market itself. So we basically wound up with 70 infected farms.
And Williams says the virus could keep spreading because the animals move to another stage on the assembly line. Companies buy most of those cattle in Georgia and other states, and they ship them to giant feedlots in the Southwest.
And if a terrorist were to put the virus into one feedlot anywhere in the United States, you know, within 48 hours, you could very easily infect 20 different states. I mean, the spread of the disease, the potential there is just absolutely mind-boggling.
Just about everybody agrees that the government and meat industry did a great job in the past. They kept the worst animal diseases out of this country. But some researchers argue that success has lulled officials into a false sense of security. The U.S. Agriculture Department cut back on veterinarians over the past 15 years, and now some of the agency's own staff warn that they don't have enough vets to fight an emergency. And researchers like Corey Brown say that a lot of younger vets wouldn't even recognize foot and mouth, just like most doctors have never studied smallpox.
Most schools of veterinary medicine give really short shrift to foreign animal diseases in their curriculum. And in general, the student attitude is, why should I have to learn about African swine fever? This is America. Well, I think that attitude is outdated.
Members of Congress are pushing various bills that would give the Agriculture Department more money. If any of them pass, the department could hire more vets and inspectors. They could train more people who raise livestock to spot exotic diseases. Meanwhile, state agriculture officials have been sending out warnings. Dear farming friend, a recent letter goes. It's from the agriculture commissioner in Massachusetts. He writes, foot and mouth disease introduced into Massachusetts on a Monday could be disseminated through much of the nation by the end of the week. In light of these concerns, the letter says, farmers should lock up all their animals at night, and they should keep out strangers. I'm Daniel Zwerdling with NPR News and American Radio Works.
American Radio Works is the joint documentary project of Minnesota Public Radio and NPR News.